Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Live. I am thrilled that you are here listening to this episode. I want to extend an invitation to you to check out my published journal called Serenity, Calm Your Soul and Strengthen Your Spirit for Your Time with the Lord. This personalized scripture journal allows you to write your name within the verse, providing you with a personal directive to take heed the truth in your life. This journal covers 5 topics to choose from with 2 weeks of scripture for each one to help you through whatever season you are currently walking in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. Additionally, the journal includes journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith in what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. So to purchase, just simply click the link below in the show notes and it'll take you to jamieelizabeth.com. You can order on my shop page. And while you're there, take the fun quiz to find out what type of journaler you are, or if you don't journal at all, learn about the benefits. And if you take the quiz, you will receive a discount plus free shipping, because who doesn't love a discount and free shipping? So today I have with me author, speaker, and artist Angie Haskell. She is here to talk about the worldly cravings we can give into that can cause a wall between ourselves and God and ultimately lead us down a destructive path. She wrote a book called Sugar Coated, Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. And she teaches us how we can understand where those cravings are coming from and how to get on a healthy path emotionally, physically, and spiritually. She is a fantastic artist in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I love that her heart is to make a safe place for women to bring any dark places in their lives into the light to get rid of shame once and for all. So let's dive into more. Here's my guest, Angie Haskell. Hi, Angie. Welcome to She Speaks Live. I am thrilled you are on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and chat with you.
Yes. Well, I was reading your book that you wrote. It's called Sugar Coated, Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. And I love your message so much because I think we can relate to those things that we replace with the temporal things that we know that only God can totally satisfy those cravings. And I can't wait to dive in more. Before we go there, I'd like you to share, what is your favorite verse and why?
You know, it's tied directly to the book, actually, and it's something that I have struggled with. I think a lot of women, Christian women, struggle with being worthy of Jesus's love. And my favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for you to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. And I think so many times we feel like, oh, God's going to, you know, the other shoe's going to drop. I've done something so far out of his love that he's never going to hear me again. I grew up in the South, and sometimes I don't know if it's just where I was born, but I lived in fear of God more than I did understanding what grace and love was. And when you grow up always terrified, you never get to understand what his love is. It's right. So sad. And so I think that's why that's my favorite verse, is we all have to have that reminder. It's taped on my mirror in my bathroom, because sometimes I can just really beat myself up. All of, you know, Christian women are masters of that. Yes. And to actually, I have to be reminded, God wants me to prosper. He doesn't want to hurt me and make me feel like I'm the worst person in the world and guilty 24/7.
Yes.
He wants me to have this amazing life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all have to just cling to so much.
Yeah, I love that. Yep. He's got nothing but blessings and good for us. And You know, we're called to be obedient to his word and live right, you know, right living with him. And when exactly. we do that, there's rewards for that. Right. And so I love that, you know, we're going to go into some of the ways that, you know, we can try to fill ourselves up with the things that just lead us to dead ends, basically, and they can become idols or addictions and things that we're grabbing onto and not grabbing onto the Lord and his word and the relationship that we can be in full freedom in with him. So I would love to just kick us off with how you began in your book stating, one way or another, we pay a price for giving into our cravings. When did you come to that realization for yourself?
Several years ago. I'm a children's author as well. And I would travel around and I would meet women, meet moms. Mm-hmm. And I would actually talk to them about an idea I was kind of rolling around in my head about sugar-coated, because myself, I'd gone through a divorce. I was really struggling with, I had a relationship with God, but I also knew I had needs that were, some of them were very normal. Mm-hmm. Some of them were definitely from the enemy saying, why do you want that? And I kept thinking, I can't be the only person feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to other mothers who become friends. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about writing a book about cravings. Of course, they thought I was going to write about food. Mm-hmm. Food can be a part of it. But I was like, no, I'm talking about cravings and yearnings of a whole other variety. And I said, you know, it's about intimacy. It's about wanting to feel desirable. It's about wanting to feel needed by our adult kids. And they would literally grab me by the hand and say, Angie, you got to write this book. Mm-hmm. And I would see the look in their faces saying, I'm like that too. I can't find a book like that to help me. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it kind of came about. And one of the big things that I really felt God, I mean, speak to me so clearly. I lived in Taos, New Mexico, and I was at a Hispanic friend's kid's birthday party. Mm-hmm. She was 12, beautiful, and they had a pinata. And they were spinning this pinata around, blindfolded, of course, mm-hmm. knocking the heck out of that pinata. All this candy came out. And they're just grasping. You know, you would have thought that candy was made of solid gold. And I truly felt like God saying, that's you. And I was, you know, 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I'm like that. I might be 50, but I have been blindfolded, spun around. Mm-hmm. We don't know what ends up. And sometimes when we're in that situation, we grasp for candy. Only it's fake sugars that do nothing but satiate us for about 2 seconds. And then we think, wow, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. We do that with shopping. We do it with relationships. We do it with wine. We do it with all kinds of things. And so it was a scary book to write, to be quite honest, because we have to be brave and own it.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big step for some women. And I hope that it will... I hope sugar-coated will help them realize you've got to quit. You got to take off the sugar coat and get real.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the title. I mean, sugar-coated. I mean, it's just, you run the gamut of everything that we can possibly, you know, fill ourselves up with. As I was reading your book, you had me at handbag. And I believe it was on page 26 when you talk about the excessive shopping. I do love me a great handbag.
Me too, sister. Me too.
I've got to be honest. So when you were mentioning the shopping, I was like, and specifically handbags, I'm like, okay, you know, I think you're speaking to me. I can relate with this one. And I think wherever you're at, I mean, we tend to bend, you know, to something, and you offer it all in this book. You're not going to come out of that going, oh, like, I couldn't relate to any of this. You do cover a lot. So I wanted to, because following that, you talk about dopamine and the effects it has on our brain, and the false way it can trick us into thinking we are being rewarded. It was so interesting how you wrote about this and how you articulated it in that way. So could you expand on that for us? Let's just kind of sit on this for a little bit.
Sure. Because, you know, the reason I wanted to include that, first of all, it's true. My daughter is a professor, a college professor in psychology. And so it was great to speak with her about this. And she's a strong Christian woman as well. And she's like, Mom, it's not just the enemy, even though sometimes I think we think that, but it's also a very physical thing. Our brain has these neurotransmitters. They can't discern that's bad for you spiritually. Our brain doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. And so when we buy something, or maybe if you have a glass of wine and you've really been wanting that glass of wine at the end of the day, but then one's not enough. Little dopamine feeling good, but I need some more dopamine released in our brains. So you have another drink. Same thing when you shop too much. Boy, I felt great when I bought that handbag. I was like, wow, this is the most expensive handbag. I can't wait to carry it, you know, out in town and people see it. You know, they didn't also know what my checking account looked like. And I mean, I'm real to a fault in this book, sugarcoated. I really am. But we have to realize our brains don't know the difference. The enemy knows. And so when you have the enemy spiritually combined with what's going on in our brain, that's tough. It's tough. And that's when you have to realize, I might not can do this on my own. Maybe I have a craving. Maybe it's gone past a craving and it's an addiction. You know, there's a TV show called about the hoarders. That's no accident. There's millions of people like that.
Right.
During COVID, when parents were having to force their kids on the computer instead of off the computer, I met hundreds of women that said, Angie, I just wanted to close that computer, put them to bed, and have a glass of wine. But during COVID, that got out of control. Alcohol consumption went up 75%.
Yeah.
That's a craving. And it's it's a craving that was created out of a situation that we didn't know how to get out of. In this book, the whole second half of Sugarcoated is showing women, here's what we can do.
Yeah.
Here's what you can do to wrestle these cravings to the ground.
I love that you were talking about, you know, just getting down to the root of it, because it really helped as I was reading it. I'm like, oh, really getting to the root of what kind of happens to your body and the neurons and the dopamine. I mean, when you know how something works and you're more aware, I think that helps you from being tempted to do that thing that you know leads to a craving, an excess or addiction, right? So yeah, that was so good. I'm so glad you added that in your book. So I would like for you to talk about when your dreams suddenly came to an end. I was going into your book and then all of a sudden there's this dramatic story. Could you share with us about that?
I feel like, Jamie, my story has been kind of like everybody's, you know, zigzag up and down. We've been in a pit, out of a pit, clawing our way out till our nails are ready to break off. And I was no exception, you know, to that. I grew up in Kentucky and was a high school teacher, only to discover it was very hard to make it on a teacher's salary. I was spending most of my salary on art supplies, but I'll get on my soapbox for a second, but art teachers really struggle. We don't get the funding we should. And I was spending everything on my students. And I actually got recruited to do marketing for a pharmaceutical company, of all things. and did really well. I did a lot of marketing for this company in New York. I was back in Kentucky on my way to work and got hit by a semi truck. Literally, my world turned upside down. I was in a very depressed state, did not know what I was going to do. Started writing manuscripts for my children because one was an art kid, and she kind of felt the same way her mother did sometimes, that we were kind of the odd gal out. And little did I know these books would in a few years become best-selling children's books, Christian children's books. And that was a blessing. However, I had a pain disorder in my limbs called RSD. In a humid area like Kentucky, it was miserable. The doctor said I could lose one of my limbs if I didn't get out. So we moved to New Mexico. Little did I know, a few years after that, I would end up in a brutal divorce. And I do mean brutal. Physically, more emotionally, financially. And Miss Angie had to start over from ground zero at 50. You don't plan on that at 50. You don't foresee that. You plan on retiring and going off in an RV like you see on TV. It was terrifying. But every single time I would look up at the mountains in Taos and I would hear, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I thought, that's the only thing kept me sane. Is I knew he had me. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I had family saying, are you ready to move back to Kentucky? We're coming and we're going to help you. We're going to pack up everything. And I was like, I don't think so. I love New Mexico. I'm an artist. And, but man, I sure didn't think I would start over. And I craved, honestly, I craved love. I wanted to feel someone hold me. I was very, very lonely. But at the same time, like many women who go through divorce at this age, we're mad. We're angry. We don't trust anyone, especially when you feel like you've been done wrong. And so I just kind of hunkered down and thought, I'm going to survive somehow because I'm holding on to Jesus' garment with both hands. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then a few years, I met William Haskell, who is the man I was supposed to meet. And I'm so thankful. And he is an artist as well. And that's a story for another day. But I'm extremely thankful. But I thought to myself, and there was a dark place at once, I really wanted to die. I stood on a bridge in Taos thinking, I think this is the easiest way for me to go. And I had a best friend who said, girl, it's time to put your big girl panties on and we're going to go get some help because you gotta get it together. That saved me and reuniting with Jesus and saying it's okay to get help. And so when I wrote Sugarcoated, it's to prevent any other woman from feeling so horrible about yourself for being human. We are human. And so I hope this book does that. It's you got to get the sugar coat off and look in the mirror and say, this is me. Have I stumbled? Yeah. Have I made mistakes? Yeah. Were some of them of my own choosing? Absolutely. But God still has a great plan for me.
Yes, he's merciful. And I'm so glad that your friend was there, that God used your friend to save your life. What a great story at the end of it all. And just like you said, God has a plan and a purpose, no matter what it starts out to look like. And so what inspired you to be an artist? I want to hear what encourages you as you paint.
You know, my love of art started in Kentucky with a high school art teacher. And I think sometimes many artists have that person in their life. She wasn't just my art teacher. She was a family member. And she is my biggest mentor in my life. I was bullied a lot in high school. I hung out in the art room to hide out from some mean girls. And she would get out National Geographic magazines and show me art by Georgia O'Keeffe, who I knew very little about. I was in the mountains of Kentucky. I didn't know who mm-hmm. Georgia O'Keeffe was, but I knew what her art looked like. And Carolyn would say, Angie, you need to go see where she lived and go see those places she lived and paint them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, not going to happen anytime soon. It took 20 years for me to discover mm-hmm. and get the nerve to come out here. And Carolyn went to be with the Lord a few years ago. She had ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. It was one of the hardest times I ever went through. She was such a Christian mentor to me. But mm-hmm. she told me, even when she was dying, get out your paint. Get out your paint, Angie. You're mm-hmm. an artist. And I come from people who weren't artists. You know, mm-hmm. people didn't think you could be an artist and make a living at it. Mm-hmm. And when I came to New Mexico, and I was like, my people are out here. I get it. Yeah. And I ended up, you know, marrying a man who is a very well-known artist in museums all over the country. And he said, he found my sketchbooks one day and he said, why in the world aren't you painting? And I said, well, you know, I quit thinking about it. I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you better be making time to paint. And no one had ever given me permission. Sometimes we women, we just want one little blip of affirmation to say, yeah. I think you can do this.
Right.
And that's what I needed. And now I'm in galleries in Wyoming mm-hmm. and Arizona and here in New Mexico. So when I'm not writing, I'm painting. So I've already started a painting. So when we get done today, I'm going to be painting. So it's just, it's an artist's awesome. Life and it's full of uncertainty, but mm-hmm. I also know that God has ordained this. I know we have.
Life is full of uncertainty. Even if you have a certain salary and job, that can become uncertain within a day. So
exactly. I was literally turned upside down. My world literally turned upside down. And I thought, you know, I had it all figured out. And, you know, you and I were talking before the show, but my favorite line is, if you really want God to laugh, tell him what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Angie, you go ahead and think that. Yes, so I'm so glad, though, that I got to a place where I could write sugar-coated. And mm-hmm. at first, when I first started writing the book, I had an agent say, Angie, if you write this book, you're going to upset the apple cart in the Christian world. And I thought, what? It's 2022. That was when I was trying to pitch the book. And he said, I don't know if women are ready for this. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, maybe someone needs to upset the apple cart then. Maybe someone needs to say, you know what? If you think women aren't struggling with all these things, then you're mm-hmm. delusional. Because all of us women have to own one of these cravings and wrestle mm-hmm. it down to the ground. It's real. Yeah. We are Christian women, and we struggle with some very real things.
I love that history, that backstory of how you became an artist. And one of the things that you quoted that I absolutely love also is you said, our daughters and sons watch our every move and can make our struggles their own. And how true that is, how much of a sponge our kids are, and they can see our struggles. And if we're displaying that in our daily life, they can become victim of those same struggles. So how can we not give in to our own temptations or triggers so we don't pass it on? So maybe start pouring into the second half of your book.
You know, I think as all women, our best way of learning sometimes is after we've gone through it ourselves. Yeah. And I don't want to throw social media and computers totally under the bus, but I do think it plays a huge part now more than ever. Mm-hmm. When social media came out, it's not just for children. We mm-hmm. all, or most of us, are on a computer, whether it's social media or TikTok or just looking at websites. And when I wrote that, I was definitely throwing myself under the bus because I'm one, that's why we want handbags, right? We see a cool ad or some some famous person carrying it, and then suddenly we think it's cool. Mm-hmm. But it also, to even fall for that, women are insecure. We're insecure mm-hmm. about how we look, how we feel, if we're doing enough, if we're making enough money. And that type of insecurity, I think, can start at a very, very early age. I carried that insecurity because I felt it. Mm-hmm. And it was, and I think I passed it down to my kids. They became insecure. Thank God they have a great relationship with him. And I always say, I want to be like my kids when I grow up. And they're 32 and 20, 27. But, you know, insecure women can create insecure daughters. And the quicker we realize it, the quicker we better get help and do some serious praying. And I'm so thankful for Grace, you know, that my kids realize, wow, mom must be struggling too. And today now we see mothers who are so wrapped up in their body image that their teenage children end up with anorexia and in a treatment facility. That's no accident. My pastor says, what we do, our children may do in excess. And they watch every single thing that we do. And social media, I mean, streaming TV shows. I talked to thousands of parents when I wrote this book. And I actually had parents say to me, well, she might be, you know, half dressed on the internet, but that's just what kids do today. That's just unbelievable. Yeah. You know, or oh, I want to give my daughter power to be able to do what she wants, whether it's risque and it haunts them the rest of their life on the internet. That's some serious insecurity that's got to be wrestled down.
Yeah.
And it's tough. We can't use excuses. That's just who they are. As Christian women, we got to own it. And then we've got to, you know, we got to make some tough decisions with children on, you cannot go out of the house looking like that. That's not being old school. That's being a mother who wants to protect her child from being harassed or bid something even worse.
I think also with social media and those around them at school, their environment, they're around such secular environment that they become desensitized to what is not normal, what is inappropriate, because they're seeing it everywhere. They're going, oh, this is normal. This is normal to pose half dressed on Instagram and, you know, get, a girlfriend or sister and act all sensual. There's so much of that because they're drawing, they're wanting to draw that negative attention from boys and think it's hot.
I think you're so right. And it's hard to take back things you've posted on the internet.
Yeah,
it really for sure. is. And I'm so glad, I will say, I had, you know, kids before all that. They didn't have to deal with that because I think it would absolutely drive a person crazy. But, you know, one thing I talk about with women who are struggling with this is, and they're kind of shocked when I first say the question, the statement, but that is, I don't really know if you love your kids enough. And they're like, what? And I was like, love them enough to allow them to be uncomfortable with your rules. If you really love your kid, you want them to be able to grow up and stand on their own two feet. You want them to be women of character who isn't so insecure they'll do anything. Yeah. Love them enough to allow them to have those things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, I think it's something that it's a tough statement. And my pastor and I talked about it, but love them enough, you know, to really think about, it's either tough now with some rules, or it's going to be tough later. And I sure rather be tough now while they're under my roof and I can make some hard calls. And, you know, not to throw men under the bus, but fathers, step up.
Yeah.
You know, don't just, you know, don't be emasculated by a wife who's going to be in charge and tell you what you're supposed to do. No man wants that. That's not why they were created. They were created to be in charge. That's okay. You can run a household together. But if you've got a daughter in the house or a son, I mean, guys are, you know, young boys are doing this too. Yeah. Step up and be the dad that you should be. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough decision, tough call. I know I don't mean to ruffle any feathers, but mm-hmm. it's the truth. Yeah.
We got to be more and more examples. And how do we become more and more examples? And it all leads back to, you know, just doing what the word says, not right. just being hearers. I mean, it says that in James. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word also. And I think that when we're displaying that, that's going to rub off on our kids in a positive way, and showing them the Christ-like behavior. Yes. And it begins with us as parents. And I know those are ways that we can resist temptation is, you know, diving daily in our scripture. It's called daily bread for a reason. It's food. It's spiritual food. And there's no secret recipe. There's no secret sauce. It's like it all goes back to what God says about you. What does God say about himself? And the Bible is a instruction manual on how to live. You want to know what God's will is? Look and read and do what the scripture says, and you will live that fulfilling life, that satisfied life. So I would love for you to just end us with anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to mention, and a takeaway, and where we can connect with you and get your book.
We tend to wear a sugar coat. We want everybody to think everything's just great. We mm-hmm. wear this beautiful, and my favorite color is pink, but we wear this sugar coat that says, oh, everything's okay in my house. I'm just fine. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we have to take off the sugar coat and realize, I fell for that. Maybe it's women who've been on the internet having an inappropriate relationship in texting. Maybe it's someone who's struggling with alcohol. Maybe it's someone who has altered their appearance so much that they don't even look like themselves anymore. Mm-hmm. We fall for cravings, but mm-hmm. the worst thing is we get so covered up in shame that we don't think we're worthy of a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the core of this book. How do we get out of that? How do we get healthy? How do we let go of the shame so that, one, we don't do it again? And two, to say, God, help me here. Love me enough to help me get through this. He does. Yeah. That's why the Bible's written. You know, all you have to do is read Romans. Paul makes that so clear. I mean, it's like, I'm sure God is thinking, how many ways do I have to tell these people this? Mm-hmm. That I love them unconditionally. Does that give us free rein to say, oh, I'm going to go do that sin again, and I'm going to go back and ask for forgiveness? That's not how it works.
Right.
It's for wisdom to say, man, I remember that candy I thought was cool, that I reached for that shiny wrapper, only that was horrible. And I'm still paying mentally for that. Mm-hmm. It's about quitting the sugarcoating, being a parent, being a woman. You know, one thing I talk about in the book is some cravings are good. We may crave intimacy that we don't have in our relationship with our spouse. Mm-hmm. That's a good craving. There's nothing wrong with that. But how you go about it can be really horrible. Yeah. And my book even talks about how do you sit down and have that relationship with your partner saying, here's a craving I have. I think mm-hmm. it's okay. I think it's spiritually based. Can we do this? Can we talk about it? Mm-hmm. Women don't have all the answers. We like to think we know what's going on in our husband's minds. We don't. Mm-hmm. My husband always says sometimes, we're not always brilliant. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you actually have to spell it out what I need. I know you think I should be able to read your mind, Angie. I can't. So sugar-coated is about all those things. And the bottom line is we have to live victoriously in God. Let go of the shame. If we have to hold on to Jesus's garment like the woman in Mark, then you hold on with everything you have.
Yeah.
And he will fill you there. Yeah. And that's what the book's about. So if people want to go on my blogs or you know, hear more about me and my art, my books. I'm working on a new book, but you can go to AngieHaskell.com. And I pray boldly that it helps women, because I don't want any woman to be in the place I was at.
Amen. Thank you so much. I love getting to know you and have you on here and share your message with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jamieelizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.